So, yes, I'm so glad to be here today. And I never want to dispute anything Elder Johnson. Elder Johnstone flows in the Holy Ghost. So I haven't been here in a while. I've been traveling with my husband, and I won't be here next Sunday. Bishop is preaching out this week, and I said, yeah, no, I haven't been in Puyallup for quite a while. Can I go to Puyallup? And I called the pastor's wife where he's at and said, been traveling a lot. Need to be in Puyallup this week. I use the word need like you guys need me. You really don't. But I need to be in Puyallup. I come here and it's like the oil pours in, the anointing of your worship and your spirit. This is a special church. This is a special environment. Your worship and the people that give themselves to such freedom of worship. It really does make a difference. So I did ask Elder Johnstone, I just want to greet the audience and make a report back today. That was my intention. And I'll start with that. But I want to say thank you to this congregation. Elder Johnstone put out a need that we have. The family visited a couple weeks ago, the Rodriguez family from Sela. And their daughter's son, who's been fighting MS for some time. It's continued, and I think most of you know that. And it's very painful. MS is something different. If we hear that word a lot, but you don't realize it's actually brain damage that's telling these muscles to tighten up. And at night, that little boy's legs would almost curl up behind his back. And they had him on such strong muscle relaxers, which the parents weren't, great about giving, but just to help with the pain. Well, they're doing an experimental surgery at Seattle Children's Hospital. And if you're going to be in the hospital for a month, costs a lot of money. If you're going to sit all day next to your son, you're going to eat and you're going to snack and you're going to buy whatever makes him happy at the moment. And so Elder Johnstone put out the need there, and you all responded with beautiful cases of Gatorade and juice and snacks and chocolate and cookies, a lot of healthy stuff, and a lot of healthy stuff too. And it's funny, when I was looking at all the food, I was kind of thinking, I bet brother and sister so-and-so bought this, or I bet brother and sister so-and-so bought this. It was all I could do just not to tear into it. So I asked permission on Wednesday night, because we had so much going on every night this week from the Johnstones and my husband. I said, there's only so much time I have, and this lady's been sitting in that hospital for 3 weeks by her son. Their family is all in Eastern Washington. Eventually, the husband, the mom, the grandma, grandpa, they need to go back to work. They are all, and just keep paychecks coming in. So, I asked, can I do life group Wednesday night instead of go to the Bible study at what I only have Wednesday night? And we did a life group at Seattle Children's Hospital with Vanessa Martinez. This only night I got to go and see her. I called during the day, and they were doing special casting on his feet. He was not available, so I took Hadley Grace up there with me. And we had our little life group at Seattle Children's Hospital. And we wanted to take all of the food that you have donated. And this is what I want to say. Thank you. What a blessing. We came in, and Hadley Grace and I were trying to figure out, how are we going to get this up to the fifth floor on a dark, cold, rainy night in downtown Seattle? So I went and got my big suitcase, for major traveling, and we filled it all up, and we went dragging down the hall, and we showed up, and first of all, Sammy was so excited to see another child, even though he is seeing children all over the floor, but most of them are severely sick and handicapped, so it's challenging. You don't get to play. He's not able to walk now. He used to be able to walk, but the surgery he did, we don't know if he'll ever be able to walk again, but he is not in pain. He has adapted to his wheelchair, and he's really excited about how fast that wheelchair can go. Now, but imagine speaking to a mother who, their child, they don't know if they'll ever be able to walk again. But in praying with her and talking with her, the perspective that comes into a situation when you're on the floor and you go to the rec room or the homeschool room and you see children that maybe only have a month to live, or maybe they will never, you see dire situations that makes you grateful that I can live with this. He's smart. He's happy. We talked about all the successful people there are that had a challenge and how God used them greatly. And we prayed together. And I can say that her perspective has been changed. I have ministered to this young girl before she was married. I've known her since she was a young girl. She married, had children, and I've watched her with Sammy as he has grown deny the diagnosis, because you don't want to hear that, and deny the fact that he really is having a hard time walking without a walker. You don't want to see that. Have him come forward and be prayed for every time, and we know God is a healer. How many in here have ever been healed? I have. So refuse to take that walker out in public because of the way it makes her son look. But now, with what the Lord has done for her at this hospital, she is embracing the fact that her son may be in a wheelchair the rest of his life, or he may walk, whatever God would have for him. But we're going to embrace that wheelchair. We're going to skedaddle down the hallway, and we're going to share all the food that Life Church has sent up to Seattle Children's with everybody else. So I took that big suitcase in there, and I said, this isn't from me. Sorry, I didn't buy anything in this, but it's from Life Church Puyallup, and I unzipped it, and it was a big suitcase, and their eyes were like, thank God. And they were so excited that I took a video. She did a video to send back to you. I'm sorry it didn't turn out well. If you would have seen us, you would not want that video posted. You ever have a moment like that? So it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. And that's how you think a small item, a small gesture, the joy that it can bring to people. She will be there until the 23rd of December. She is by herself. She gets calls from her families. Should you feel, I believe the Johnstones are going up, should you feel you want to send anything up to them or even stop by and visit? And so there's been so many areas lately where people are challenged, and for whatever reason, it seems like the challenges are greater this time of year just because we've put Christmas in December. The same situation we would have dealt with in July, if it happens the week of Christmas, it just took it to a stress level 10. Why is that? Is that God's doing? I don't think so. My husband and I were not together on Thanksgiving Day. He was, and we were felt like we were ministering to people. And I chose to go. I had to fly out the next morning, and he was going to take food to somebody that was shut in. And we were like, oh, it's okay, honey. It's just another day. What are you doing today? I'm going to drive. It's just another day. To bring it down a level, because we put such high expectations on days and months and weeks. And there's so many stressed people this month that we need to take the oil that we have and that we receive, the gift of the Holy Ghost, and spread it as much as we can. Whether it's a simple gesture, it's supplying food, it's smiling, it's de-escalating somebody that's stressed out. In my devotional the other day, there, it talked about the scripture of the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it told the story of a man that he always had a little bottle of oil in his pocket. And my first thought went to, he was always ready to anoint and to pray for people. He lived in a little village in Europe. But his thing was, he was adamant he could not handle anything in his life squeaking. Wherever he went, if it was at the grocery store, the door squeaked, he'd pop out that bottle of oil and he would fix it. We cannot have that. It was the gate somewhere, and he would pop out that. And then when that bottle of oil was empty, he would fill it back up again. And people kind of made fun of it, but it took away that, you know, those fingernails on a chalkboard situation. It poured oil on it and made everybody's life just a little more pleasant. It's funny, I was thinking about that the other night when now we live in an apartment and there's something, I get up in the middle of the night and I, every night, and I have a drink, and when you hear something in the middle of the night, now you're in an apartment and it goes, you think, oh my goodness, who heard that? Where's the WD-40 that fixes everything? And it's just hard on the ears. And that's how I feel about the oil of the Holy Ghost and the needs around me. I have de-escalated. I have smiled at people that in the recent days they told me, if you weren't eating and in here praying, you if you're a Christian, you know, see, people say things that are like, who are you? I'm a prophet of God, okay? And am I going to keep smiling? Am I going to show love? People are so stressed this time of year, and it's even a greater season, a greater month, because of not what God put on this month and this day above one another, but we can use what the world is doing to minister and show love. Continue to pray for Vanessa and Sammy, and I will continue to pray for your friend, what was his name? Everybody say Sean. We're going to pray for Sean. My husband and I were visiting just the other day about some situations that we had prayed for that were really a dead-end road. And you pray for it, and you pray for it again, and you pray for it again. And then 2 years later, this person is clean, sober, and has a good job. But we're so used to things being so instantaneous, but God's timeline is not like that. And now we could go, look at that. We really bombarded heaven for that. And now look at his life. That's the glory of God. But because time passes, we kind of forget. We prayed about that. We prayed about that. I could go down a list, 1, 2, 3, 4, of what God is doing. And I believe God is going to do a great work in Sammy Martinez's life. Will he walk again? I'm not sure. But he's going to do powerful things in the kingdom. God is doing powerful things in Vanessa's life, the life of their family. Is there pain involved? Yes, there is. There's so many wilderness experiences in the scripture that God let people go through to prepare them for what lied ahead of them, or that they might just be saved. So many situations. I'm going to pray for Sean. I'm going to pray for Sean. I want to say that in a year here that Sean is doing well and with his family. Sometimes if it doesn't happen, well, then God had an appointed time. That's all I can say about that. There's an appointed day for each and every one of us. But in the meantime, we will fight these diseases. We will fight these battles. We will fight these addictions that are surrounding us. We will fight this pressure that the world is putting on us to conform in Jesus' name. And so much of the time we fight it, and then we go on to the next fight and the next battle and the next battle. And every once in a while I think, oh, I need to look back at this battle and give God glory. He answered prayer. He answers prayer. This time of year, let's keep our priorities in order. I'm not worried about buying my grandchildren. They are not getting Apple Watches for Christmas. I am such a busy bishop's wife. I have my Christmas decorations in my whole house this year will consist of an electric lighted willow tree this high with a couple lights on it. And I like Christmas decorations. But you know what? Priorities are priorities. There's people sitting in rooms by themselves alone. It's not how much money we throw at it. It's the presence of God, our prayers, and listening to the actual needs this time of year. And I want to say, you guys do this. I come back to Puyallup to get filled up again to go back out. Yeah, I get filled up every morning with my daily devotions and my prayers and my, but there's something about this place. And I just want to say, I'm so thankful to be here. You guys are blessed. You are blessed with the worship. You are blessed with anointed leadership. And I'm just very glad to be here. And again, I say thank you for what you did for the Martinez family. God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Skinover. Would you close your eyes and just talk to the Lord right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray let our focus be singular. Let it be upon you, Jesus. Father, your word says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I pray, Father, let our focus be upon you in this hour. Let our focus be upon you in this season, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I appreciate some of those reminders. The instruction from the Word of God is to be in the world but not of it. Everybody say, that's the challenge. In it but not of it. I have to walk around and participate in all kinds of different things on a daily basis. I rub shoulders with people who have a different focus than I have. And every now and then it's good. God brings things into your life. He brings things around to help you get back to zero, get realigned. I try to do this often in my life, and every now and then I take an assessment. Anybody here ever do that? You take an assessment of your life, and you start looking at things like, okay, why am I doing this, and why did I do that, and why have I got involved in this? And every now and then I'll just admit to you, I find that my life has devolved into things. I was joking around. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, we started talking a couple Wednesday nights ago about the screen time usage report that all the iPhone users get. And after service, we were comparing some of those, and it was staggering. And it's little things like that that you realize, we make statements sometimes like, well, I don't have a lot of time in my life. I agree, I don't either. I have very little time in my life. And then I start looking, I get that report, and I start seeing like 5.4 hours per day, and you're like, man, that's a lot of time. That's almost as much time as I sleep. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not multitasking and that was the week after pause. I think it was the week after pause, and I joked with these guys. I said, it's up because I've been watching pause videos on YouTube. But it's still a stark reminder. And so you do these assessments of your life. You start to look at things. What am I spending my time doing? What's going on? And I believe this. I believe that the power of the Holy Ghost, if we allow it to, will bring things to the forefront for us. Have you ever been talking to somebody or somebody's talking to you and you're like, no, stop. Don't talk about that. I don't want to know about that. You start talking about, situations around the world, and, there's a little joke that we say, those are first world problems, and someone starts telling you about true third world problems, and people are like, oh, no, I don't want to hear that. And the reason they're saying that is because I become responsible for, Sister Schoonover, the things that I hear. We heard things today in this room that now, whether you want to or not, you just became responsible for what you heard. You get to decide how you deal with it when you leave here, but you just became responsible for it. It's between you and the Lord. He brought things to you, and maybe you were receiving things that because you thought she just got up here to share a little testimony, give you a little praise report, and say thank you. But there was far more going on than that. I tried to warn you about that before she started. I'm reaffirming that now. There's some of you, while she was saying things, you're like, yeah. It's a Christmas season. Stay away. Just don't talk about this. Let me have my time. There were others that the Holy Ghost was pricking your heart. And you were like, yep. I receive that. Now it's between you and the Lord what you do with that when you leave. So we make these assessments in our life. We let the Lord talk to us. We let the Lord bring things about in our lives. And we look at where we're spending our time and what we're involved in and the things that God's doing with us. And every now and then, he brings a little something around that just kind of just knocks you off your feet. A couple of nights ago, I was in conversation with my daughter, who's 8 years old, and I was having a conversation with her, Brother Berglund, about honoring your father and your mother. And I was reminding her of what the Bible says, that honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long on the land. And I said, you know what that means, right? She said, Dad, I know that scripture. Yes, I know that scripture. I said, all right, we're talking about respecting, trying to teach. I found this approach with my children of trying to less correction, more training. They go hand in hand. Do you realize I talking about assessments here. I take assessment every now and then of what's going on. If I'm doing something and it doesn't have positive reaction, I need to reassess what I'm doing. I'll say that again. If I'm doing something in life and I'm not getting positive reaction out of it and things aren't going like I think they should be going, then I should probably stop and reassess what it is I'm doing. And so as a parent, I begin to reassess some things. Well, I do a whole lot of correction, but am I doing as equal amount of training as I'm doing correction? There's nothing more than I hate more than somebody coming to me. That's a strong word. Somebody coming to me and saying, you did that wrong. Well, what did I do wrong? Doesn't matter. You just did it wrong. Oh, despite you, what you're saying is I got a better way to do it. My way is better. Now, if you could sit down and show me this and this and this and this was wrong and this, okay, yep, you're right. I see that. I'm wrong. I'll do it different next time. That's training. The other way is just correction. You're scolding me. You're disciplining me for my inability. And maybe I didn't even know. So I'm trying to find this balance of correction and instruction. I'm glad God has balance with me in that. And I'm trying to find this balance, and so I'm doing some instruction. It's just me and her. We're in the living room. The boys are in bed. She's sitting on the couch. I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm just giving her instruction. And she, you know, usually everything at 8 years old, everything a child comes up with, I've got a response for as a parent. I remind her of that. Dad's smart. Dad's almost 40. You're 8. I've been living a lot longer than you have. Just trust me with this. Anybody ever say that? Just trust me with this. Yes. So I'm having the just trust me conversation. I got this. And she turned, I said, you understand what live long on the land means, right? You understand that. Yeah. I said, you want to get married someday? Yeah, you want to have kids? Yeah. She already knows how many kids she wants. She's got all this mapped out. And I said to her, you want all those things to come to pass in life, right? She goes, yeah. I said, this is what the scripture's talking about. If you're going to plan out, then there's a process that comes in that. And honoring your father and mother is part of that process. And she said, Dad, that's all nice, but I really just want to go to heaven. And I said, all right. She goes, you know those streets of gold you guys talk about? I want to see those. She said, you know, Moses is going to be there. It's her favorite character in the Bible. Moses is going to be there. I want to talk to him. You know, Mary and Joseph will be there too. And I can sit down. I can actually physically talk to Mary and Joseph. I want to do that. And the responsible, smart parent that I am that's sitting there with a response for everything was absolutely dumbfounded. You got me. Actually, the Holy Ghost got me through an 8-year-old. Because what something's sinking in between school and Sunday school and home and all the things that we're saying that somebody, and I'm not even taking credit for this. Maybe it's the Sunday school teachers downstairs. God bless you. God's working through you. But somewhere along the line, something is registered with her little 8 3/4-year-old brain that there is something more. There's something more to live for than what is presented to me here on this earth for the here and now. And somebody somehow, again, I'm not taking credit for this, has painted a picture that there's something beyond the blue that has got far more greater importance than what I'm doing today. Ooh, I sat back in the chair and I was like, okay, maybe it's age. Maybe it's age. Maybe, because here's the thing, we all get so consumed. I'm telling you, I'm admitting to you, I become so consumed in my humanity with the here and now because it's what I face day in and day out. I live season to season. I live day to day. Okay, I got Wednesday night's Bible study. Thursday morning are sales meetings. I got to be prepared for that. Friday morning's another sales conference call. I got to be prepared for that. I live hour to hour. And if you get in my Outlook calendar, it blows your mind. My wife says, all you do is set in meetings. And I live from 1 hour to the next. Preparing, trying to be prepared. Don't be late. Get here, get there, drive here, drive there. And I'm so consumed with the here and now that I forget that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My purpose is not to be an oak tree in this world with a taproot that goes way down, but my purpose is to be like that Doug fir whose roots run along the surface. Know that, yeah, I've got some roots and yeah, I've got some stability, but they're not running very deep because I'm living for something greater than this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Sergi, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start reading in verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. I don't know about you, but you've heard my stories over the years. My truck's got broken into multiple times. And there's nothing worse than coming out. The worst one was the last time. They got my cell phone, my iPad, my laptop. They got everything. It was a spur-of-the-moment deal. I rushed home. I was late. I left my bag in the truck, and I jumped in my wife's car in the garage, and we left, and they watched the watch just pull out of the driveway, and they pulled right in because I was able to ping my devices, and they had shut them all off within minutes of us leaving the house, and I was so devastated by that. And of course, I eventually got it all replaced and, you know, dealt with all of that stuff. But Jesus is talking here, and he's trying to lay a groundwork of where our treasure's at and what we care about. And he says, you can put all this time. This is Jesus talking here. You can put all of this time into the things that you accumulate and things that you look for. And those are the things that you're taught by society that matter. You know, well, I got to get this and I got to get that. And, you know, what version of iPhone do you have? And do you even have an iPhone yet? You know, you're 9 years old. My daughter comes home from school, 9 years old, 8 1/2, 9 years old. I need an iPhone. No, you don't. Thank you, grandmother, for not buying her an iWatch. For crying out loud. 8 1/2, 9 years old. I didn't have a cell phone until I was 18. I can't even imagine giving an 8-year-old. I'm so distracted at 39 by an iPhone. I can't imagine how bad a 9-year-old would be. These are all the things that we're programmed to want and to see, and we collect all these things, but those are all things that become corrupted. They're corruptible things. The things that thieves can break in and steal. The things that become destroyed. The things that rust. guess this is Care and Share Sunday. Forgive me. I got an admission to make. I'm a car guy. I love cars. I live vicariously through friends of mine who have money to spend on a lot of cars. I couldn't bring myself to do that anyway. I don't have the money that they have to spend on cars. I have one friend, he's got like 35 cars. Built a garage, stacked them in on these lifts and all this stuff. And I go in there and I'm like, wow, I want that one right there. Oh, I love that one. Oh, how much for that one? And I dream because at the end of the day, it's just they're all going to rust. A friend of mine's got a car. He won't even drive it. I said, are you kidding me? No, it's the only one with less than 100 miles on it left in the United States. And if I drive it, it'll go up over 100. So we just push it into trailers, push it into the garage, and we push it here, we push it here, because it's a rust bucket at the end of the day. It's a piece of metal. And in 30 years, somebody will look at it and be like, really? Seriously? I saw an ad yesterday. I don't even know if it's real. I was just scrolling through LinkedIn, and I saw there's a Lamborghini, Ferrari. Somebody's making a car now that's basically a screen. You can literally change the color with a key fob push, and you can change graphic design. Crazy stuff. That's better than something that came out 10 years ago. And so something that came out 10 years ago is like, but 10 years ago, somebody had to have it. Right. And somebody went out and maxed a credit card or their buying power to have it and have it in their garage. I can't drive it. Why can't you drive it? Because it might get wet. Somebody might hit me. So you park it in your garage? Really? Just stays there? These are the things that he's talking about. Moth and rust corrupts those things. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I ask you this morning, where's your heart? Is your heart somewhere else? Oh, I'm here. I've got to be here. Because he hasn't taken me yet, Brother Lindsay. I have to be here. But my heart's over there. I'm living for something greater. Or is my heart here? If you could just, oh, Lord. I remember being a young man, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, and thinking, you know, because I grew up, I was in church in the 80s. We really believe Jesus was coming back. We don't believe Jesus has come back anymore. And if we really do, we don't live like it. But back in the 80s, we really believed Jesus was coming back. Anybody here remember, like, was it 88 reasons Jesus is coming in 88? I'm getting a nod from Brother Berglund. Yes. 88 reasons Jesus is coming back in 88. People really believed Jesus was coming back. We showed reel-to-reel movies in our church called Thief in the Night. We scared people into getting the Holy Ghost. Scared people into the waters of baptism. The problem was, as soon as the fear was gone, so were they. And when Jesus didn't come back in 88, we couldn't find him until the Gulf War in 1990. And then suddenly that was Armageddon. Wrong place, wrong time. But hey, whatever works, right? People came running back into the church because there was war going on and we were in the Persian Gulf and, oh, this could be the one. As soon as the Gulf War was over and they realized that wasn't Armageddon, whew, all right, back to putting my treasure on earth again. We lived like Jesus was coming back. And I look at a generation. I look at my own parents who got in church in the late 70s, early 80s. And there was nothing to this day, Sister Pat, there's nothing that they do that isn't about the kingdom. If I get on the phone with my dad, it's an hour, minimum hour-long conversation. He's going to tell me every single kingdom involvement he has. My dad doesn't do anything outside of the kingdom of God. He doesn't fish. He doesn't hunt. If I want to take him fishing, it's like, Dad, can we go fishing? Yeah. Dad, you want to go hunting? Sure, I'd love to go hunting. I think the last time, maybe the second last time he was hunting was with me. His whole life is consumed about the kingdom. From time to time, you know, my sisters, God bless the millennials. Nick, you got to talk to him. You got to talk to him. You know, he's got to have a life outside of God. Now, I understand what they're saying. I get the spirit of what they're saying. You got to understand, they're from a generation who said, this world is not my home. I'm laying my treasure up somewhere else. Oh, you can put down roots here if you want. You can put all your treasure here if you want. But someday, they're going to put you in a little urn or a little casket. And that's all that's good. Maybe a few other things that you can fit in there with you are going with you. But everything else is staying here. And this. This is all I have is just maybe a suit. I don't know. Depends on what my wife decides. Oh, please put that in there with me. I'll need that. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. If you find it hard to stay committed to your relationship with God, if you find it difficult to be faithful to the kingdom of God in your life, I would challenge you today to assess, take an assessment of where your treasure is. Now, don't get me wrong here. There's nothing wrong with savings. I have savings accounts, 401ks. I have all that stuff. But I ask you, what are you saving for? Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying anything's wrong with any of that stuff. But if that's all my focus, I have a poor client, every time I sit in front of him, whether it's half hour, 45 minutes, all I hear about his stocks and his 401k and this is what I'm buying, this is what I'm doing, it consumes him. His treasure is here. This is all he's worried about. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, bro, you got maybe 10 left. How are you going to spend all that in 10 years? He's buying houses, doing all this stuff. Again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of that, but if that's where all my treasure is, if that's where all my focus is, then the scripture says that's where my heart's going to be too. But then I pray and I say, Lord, I want my heart to be towards you. I want a heart that's after you. And you know, and I'll quote the scripture to him, as the heart, the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And I want to be a man after God's own heart. And I want to be all these things. And he says, that's what I want too, Nick. Where's your treasure? What are you pouring yourself into? Everybody say planning. What are you planning for? You know, people use the term estate planning. I have an estate. I have all that. But, you know, it all belongs to him anyway. Right. Absolutely. There's nothing that I have, Doug, that he didn't give me. I didn't attain any of this by myself. I know what I could attain, and that's absolutely nothing. I can attain failure. I can attain mistakes. I can attain, but he's entrusted me. Anybody here feel like God's entrusted you with something? He's entrusted you with things. He trusted you enough to put something in your possession. He's given you 4 children. He trusts you. He put 4 children in your possession. He trusted you with that. He's given each of us different things, different responsibilities. Sister Schoonover's responsibilities aren't mine. He's entrusted her with a completely different set of responsibilities. He's entrusted Brother Heiner with something completely different than mine. But he trusts me with it. And then it's up to me what I do with that trust. Where it is that I put that treasure, where it is that I put my focus. I tell you, I'm thankful today. You can stand. I'm thankful today that God cares enough about me. That he would use the voice of a child to remind me Nick, there's something far greater than this world to live for. I mean, just stop and think for a moment about all the luxuries. I love them. I love them. Half the reason I drive the car that I drive is because of all the luxuries that are in it and the phone connectivity and all these things that I spend all this time on the road and talking on the phone. It's just, it's great. And I get to my house and, you know, I've got a smart hub that allows me to connect to every device in my house. And I got a thermostat that senses where my phone's at and can turn the heat on before I get home. And, you know, all these things that are just so cool. I got Ring doorbells that you can walk up to my front door and push it, and I can talk to you, and you don't know whether I'm home or not home. And just great. They're just luxuries. They're so great. They just make my life so comfortable here on this earth. I love it. Maybe a little too much sometimes. You know, we spent, not by choice, through a whole bunch of weird circumstances, we spent the whole summer from May the 4th, May the 5th, until Labor Day weekend with one car. One car family. And I tell you what, I just about lost my Holy Ghost. Almost became a sinner over that. Why? Luxuries. That's all they are, is luxuries. There's convenience. My wife kept saying to me, I don't need a car. I'm at home. You can come get me if I need to go somewhere. Therein lies the problem. I have a job. I can't just walk out and say, oh, by the way, my wife needs to go to Safeway. I'll be back in 2 hours. Doesn't work that way. So we had to plan. Imagine that. You had to plan. When are you going to be home? Well, I got to set up an appointment here. And the kids need to go to the doctor here, so I need to know when you're going to be home this day. And I set this appointment up for this. And it was craziness. But at the end of it, when it was all said and done, I realized they're just luxuries that make life easier here on this earth. And that's what society is all about. All these engineers and developers and all these people that are developing software and trying to make this talk to that and give you this, you know, recognition. I go in the airport now. I don't have to go through security. I go through clear and they just scan my eyeballs and I just walk through. It's great. Luxuries. That's all they are, is luxuries. And if I'm not careful, all those things serve to make me so comfortable here that I don't want to leave. Why do people fear death so much? Why? The Bible says, oh, death, where is thy sting? In the prayer room I was reading, First Thessalonians, where Paul says, hey, don't be troubled like others who have no hope. Why does the church walk around living like we have no hope? Unless we put our treasure here where there is no hope. And our hearts are here where there is no hope. But when my treasure and everything that I have is in his kingdom, then I live like I've got hope. There's something greater than this. Oh, you think this is great? Oh, you should see where I'm going. How about you talk about that in the break room tomorrow? How about you bring up somebody who's got streets paved with gold waiting for you and pearly gates that are going to swing open wide and start checking out the looks you get. Have some whatever he had this weekend. Because we're so programmed as a society for here and now. Would you talk to the Lord right now? Would you allow him to do an assessment? You have to give him permission. Father, do an assessment. Do an assessment of my soul. If there's things that are temporal that have begun to look attractive to me, then I pray in the name of Jesus that you would cause the scales to fall from my eyes and that I would see spiritually, Father. That I could know spiritually, perceive spiritually, and to see exactly what it is that you want. I'm going to ask you just to take a moment, wherever you're at. If you want to come to the altar, that's fine. If you want to pray in your chair, that's fine. But would you just take a few minutes before you leave this room today and allow the Holy Ghost to do some assessment in your life? Allow him to show you some things. Allow him to let you see exactly what it is and where it is that your heart is. Father, in the name of Jesus, you search me and you know me. I want you to shine your light from heaven down upon my soul. I desire you, Father, to know me. I desire you to show me, expose to me, Father, my heart, my shortcomings. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I pray, let my treasure be invested in heaven. Let my treasure be invested in not the temporal, but the eternal, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I know and recognize today, Father, that this world is not my home. This is only temporary. You've placed me here. Your word says that life is but a vapor. I'm here today and gone tomorrow. I pray, Father, that I would make the time that you've given me here count. I pray that your will would be established every day in my life. I pray that I would live in pursuit of you, that every day I would awake and reach to you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Father, you're aware of every distraction in my life. You're aware of everything, Father, that comes between me and thee. Oh, I pray in the name of Jesus, let your spirit prevail in me. Let your spirit prevail in me today, Father. That not my will be done, but thine. In the name of Jesus. 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 He la 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 ma soto ro ro ma ni la la ba si ti a na ye. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I so appreciated what Sister Heiner had to say last week in her testimony. Just that slight sensitivity to the Lord. Something that seems so innocent, so just not a big deal. She realized it had captured so much of her heart. Now, I think she used another term. She said it captured her thought processes and she was constantly thinking about it, but captured her heart, and she began to realize how much she was consumed by something. You know, that's all kinds of different things for all of us. Sometimes I can get so consumed by the silliest of things me personally, I can get so consumed by what somebody said or what somebody did. You know, it doesn't even really even affect me personally. But I hear it. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear what so-and-so said? And before I know it, I'm so consumed by it. And I can go sometimes 2-3 weeks before I realize just how consumed I am by it. By how much time I've thought about it. By all the scenarios I've played out in my head about if I had a chance to say something about it, what I would say about it. And I let all this stuff play out. And I realized this has consumed me. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with hobbies. I have a ton of hobbies, probably too many hobbies. But every now and then I got to take assessment of them. How much time am I spending doing A? How much time am I spending doing B? And let the Holy Ghost talk to me about those things so that my heart and my mind and my spirit keep them in perspective. A few years ago, you all know Bishop Wright. You've heard his ministry, experienced his ministry here. Man, it's a powerful man of God. I sat down. I still remember where I was at. I was in an Outback Steakhouse in Union Gap. And I listened to him for an hour and a half rattle off baseball stats like I've never heard anybody in my entire life. I'm sitting across the table from this guy. All I've ever heard out of him is ministry. It's the first time I've ever had like really personal interaction with him. All I've ever received is ministry from him. And I, for an hour and a half, received baseball stats. Pitchers, hitters, catchers, all this stuff. I'm just like, here, I thought you spent all your time studying the Bible. Now, it didn't consume him to the place that, but he obviously, it helped me. Helped me to find a balance in my life. Now, I'm not going to let my heart go there. Do you understand the difference between that? I believe his heart is in the kingdom. I believe his treasure is in the kingdom. I believe all those things are in the kingdom. It doesn't mean he can't care about Major League Baseball. Father, we thank you today for your grace and your mercy that's upon us. I thank you for every individual in this room, Father. I thank you for your guidance. I thank you that you care enough about us to help us, to keep us on the right track, to keep our perspective. I thank you for every word that's been spoken in this room today, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to invite the praise team back for a moment. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and put those plates on the altar here. You can leave them there. And as you leave today, if you want to give, the plates will be here.